In the name of one God, Holy Trinity, Amen. You know, with the exception of 3 years in seminary, I've worked my entire adult life in the church. When you work in the church, especially one of any size, Christmas becomes this very different experience, or at least those of us who work in churches imagine that it does. It's busy and wonderfully crowded, and we plan for the worst and hope for the best. We stress out over the color correctness of your bulletins, about where the best place to put the coat rack is. We rehearse communion and we have usher meetings. We stress out over just when to get the parking lot plowed and the sidewalks cleaned off. And we worry about those of you who are over in Hanson Hall because we would like everyone to fit in our church on nights like this. Most of the things that concern us are out of our control. There's just, I suppose, an element of performance anxiety or an expectation of perfection. It's almost as if to us, if everything's not perfect, the babe won't show. There'll be no choir of angels, no sheep ranchers or wise people. We, those of us who work in the church, sometime before Thanksgiving, begin to live under the communal illusion that if we don't do what we're supposed to do, and we don't do it well, God will not show up for you, for all of us, in the form that God shows up in on Christmas. If we are not perfect, God will not come among us in imperfection. If we are not perfect, God will not come to us in the form of a baby, vulnerable, innocent, full of hope, full of possibility, full of promise. Now, those of us who work in the church know that our experience is unique. We know no one else feels the pressure of perfectionism at Christmas time. We know no one begins to feel that pressure of the holidays sometime before Thanksgiving. We know no one else stresses out about the details of the holiday and who will be included and not included, what to get for whom. No worries about whether there's room at the table or room under the roof for the important people in our lives. We know nobody worries if the turkey is dry like we do. We know no one else worries about whether this holiday will be perfect as we prepare to welcome God again in imperfection. It's really just our problem, I suppose. And then every year, every single year, without exception, it happens. Christmas comes among us again. We get there. It's never perfect, and there's something perfect about that. It isn't a perfect story. It happens. It has a course and a momentum all its own. A star appears in a sky. A family makes do with a barn. People set out on a pilgrimage, and the baby does what babies do. The baby comes when the baby comes. Love, you see. Hope, you see. Possibility, you see, has a course and a momentum all its own. The prophet Isaiah speaks to this, but we have to uncover what he's saying. He says to his people and to us, you, people who walked in darkness, have seen a great light. You who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on you light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, he says. You have increased its joy, he says. You rejoice as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder, he says, for the yoke of your burden and the bar across your shoulders, the rod of your oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian, he says. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire, he tells us. This vision, this prophecy, this chosen but real perspective is one the prophet sees long before the babe is born, and one that can be seen long afterwards. The vision, the one from Isaiah, the one from Luke, it belongs to us this evening and tomorrow and the next day and the next. It's a vision of liberation, but in our eyes, it is an outrageous story. It is so far from perfect. You know, Isaiah is referencing this really crazy story from the Hebrew Scriptures. Israel is dominated by the Midianites, and they're complaining and complaining and complaining. They're complaining to each other, and they're complaining to God. So God hears their complaints, and he comes to this guy, Gilead. He comes to Gilead, and he tells him, Gilead, you will be Israel's liberator. Now Gilead responds to God, God, my clan is the weakest clan in all of Israel. And I am the weakest member of my clan. Choose someone else. But God is using Gilead. So Gilead leads a small group of people into battle against the Midianites, only with clay pots, trumpets, and torches as weapons. No kidding. That's the story. Of course, when Gilead leads his army with clay pots, trumpets, and torches, of course, they win. Everybody who leads an army with clay pots, trumpets, and torches wins. God comes to Gilead with, you got this. God comes to Mary with, you're the one. I believe in you. God comes to Joseph with, wait for it. Trust me. He comes to the sheep ranchers with, you're never going to believe this. And to the foreign dignitaries with, I know it sounds crazy, but follow the star. God comes to us with, you are my children, chosen and marked by my love, the delight of my life. Christmas, you see, is a doorway, a threshold, a passage to a life that seems way out, yet is full of love and hope and possibility, a life of well-being and human flourishing. And it's an outrageous life, too, one we would never expect. For those of us who work in the church, it includes typos and bulletins we have proofread umpteen times. It includes confusion at communion and coat racks without hangers. For you, it probably includes some dry turkey, an inability to procure Christmas lights in Jackson, Wyoming, and maybe a tiff with someone that is so important to you. But you bet your bootstraps it includes a life you couldn't ever ask for or even imagine, one filled with unearned love, a life of human flourishing guided by capital L love incarnate. When you and I lean into this Christmas life together, the possibility for the spread of loving kindness becomes unending. The ability to feel love and spread love becomes just what we do. Tonight we are a people who have walked in darkness because, you know, that's just what people do. But we also see the light, and together we move toward it as it moves toward us. Amen.